the background of this what's going on. And in verse 20, we have this amazing situation, don't we, in verse 20. So if you've got your Bible, you're able to turn to it. So Exodus chapter 15, verse 20, almost a commentary. Joseph is saying about his brothers. He's looking back, thinking of the way he was treated, and this is what Joseph said. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. And do you know what we're going to look at? Two words we're going to look at. Verse 20, who can tell me? What are the two words do you think? Yeah, I like to keep you all on your toes. You're not just going to sit there. So what are the two words, looking at verse 20, what are the two words you think I'm going to preach on? Yes? But God, thank you. But God. And in Scripture, these words are found very often. But God. When you see in Scripture, but, look up, wait, something's coming. God. And we're going to look at those words under three simple heading. Heading number one, but God when we don't understand. Point number two, but God in life's battle. Thirdly, but God in our salvation. Praise God. Can't wait to get to that one. All right, are you all with me? Right, first one, let's have a look. But God, when we don't understand. It's incredible, but if you look just for a moment in Genesis, because we're just going to still get a bit of context to this. If you look in Genesis chapter 37 for a moment, Genesis 37, and I know many of you here, you know the story very well. Some of you may even sort of say, well, I've been a Christian longer than you, Dalton. I know the story even better than me, and probably you do. Sure you do. But if you look at Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3, let's look at some mistakes that Joseph's father made. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Let's pause there. We've got some parents here tonight. Parents, and we've got some children here tonight. Love them all the same. Don't have favorites. No, we don't have favorites, do we? Moms and dads, we're not allowed. We must love them all the same. They're all unique in their own ways, but they're lovely. And children, we love you, don't we? Of course we do. Yes, yes. That's right, mom's stroking one on the head. Say, we love you. Yeah, you've been stroked. Praise God for mommy and daddy. And so on. We could go on, can't we? Oh, sorry, we've really embarrassed him now, haven't we? But that was a mistake that Jacob had made. What else can we say? Because it goes on there, because we know that he bought, what did he buy? I wonder if any of the boys and girls can tell me. Do we know what Joseph's father bought him well before he was taken away? Sorry?
Coat.
Coat, yeah. What sort of coat? Can any of the children, boys and girls, tell me? What sort of coat of what? Many what? Many colours. Thank you. Tremendous. A coat of many colours. Well, that's another reason why his brothers didn't like him, because he was showing off. Look at my coat, he was saying. Well, probably not making that noise, but he was rejoicing. So that's the first mistake. But then, his brothers hated him. Verse 5. Look at verse 5. Well, actually, verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. And we could go on and on and on, and right throughout we find how he was disliked. But even though he was disliked, God blessed him. Genesis chapter 41, verse 14. We're not going to rush to Genesis 50 yet. No, we're not going to rush to it. Don't look at your watch either. So Genesis 41 and verse 14, Joseph got on really well. And we find in verse 14, Pharaoh now looked after him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Why? Because he wanted him to interpret a dream. And called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. That's where he was. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And then it talks about a dream. But bit by bit by bit, if we had time, we'd find how God was caring for Joseph. Chapter 43, there was a famine. What do we mean by a famine? Any of the boys and girls can tell me. What's a famine then? Sorry? No food, thank you. Have you known a famine in your household? Yes, he said, no. Bet with mom and dad. Of course. No. Sometimes we may think there's a famine where we think, oh, where's my Rice Krispies? Oh, where's my favourite cereals? It's not here. And we sometimes think that's a famine, don't we? I know my children used to, oh boy, all the stuff that I tried to keep away from them and said, don't buy, you know, what's that sugar one? The sugar coating?
Frosties,
that's it. Oh, and sugar pot, oh dear. Keep away. Oh no, it's lovely. Why is it lovely? Plenty of sugar. Oh dear, not good for the teeth. Anyway, that's another story. But, you know, the Lord blessed this man and he was promoted. So that in the end, we have these words again in our text. But God meant it for good. Now, what do we mean by but? How do we use? We sometimes use the word but as a linking word. What do I mean? We may say, I love strawberries, but... That's right, I don't like the stalks. Thank you. People do say things like that. What I'd got here was, I'm allergic to strawberries, some may say. They look good, but they don't do me any good. Or someone might say, I've bought a house in Manchester, for example, but I haven't sold my other house. So we use the word but as a connecting word. We sometimes use the word but to mean except. So for example, we may say, the cleaning is done now, all but the floors, for example. Or, I arrived at the airport, don't ever do this bit, and realise that I'd brought everything but my, what?
Passport.
Don't do that. So we use the word but. But when we come to Scripture, and we look at what we're looking at here tonight, it's different. So, but when we don't understand, what don't we understand? Okay, let's turn with me to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. It's familiar. Again, you may say, I know what he's going to say, but let's remind ourselves. Psalm 73, and we're at a point here where you could say, the psalmist here was at a point of giving up. He wanted to pack it all in. He got to a point where almost saying, what's the purpose of life? Do you ever feel like that sometime? Look at it. Psalm 73, page 518 in the Bible I've got here. The psalmist says, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of a pure heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My step had nearly slipped. Why was he feeling like this? Verse 3. I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So in other words, those people who were not Christians, those people who don't go to church, they seem to be prospering. They seem happy. And he could not reconcile. Why are they so happy? And he goes on to say, it's almost as if he's having a meltdown. Verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, he says, pride serves as a necklace. So here's these people, they're full of themselves, they're full of pride, they're full of everything. And the psalmist goes on, their eyes bulge with abundance. And he even say, these people, they scoff, they blaspheme, and nothing seems to happen to them. But as for me, I want to give up. I want to give up. And he goes on and on and on. And don't forget the point we're saying, we say, but God, when we don't understand. And the psalmist said, he couldn't understand. And maybe there are some of you here tonight, you cannot understand what you're going through. Maybe you cannot understand what we've been through these last 17 months. And it comes back to me now. I was saying to someone only a couple of days ago, it was a stark thing when I first heard when Boris Johnson announced, this is almost like a command, you are not allowed to leave your house unless it's an emergency or unless it's for shopping, and even then not many of you, all the stuff that we've been through. And then you suddenly think, maybe there's something going on. Or maybe you don't think, maybe you think it's all a whatever. Some Christians have different views on it, and we're not going to go into that tonight. But, you know, the thing is, that was quite stark. But for the psalmist here, he wanted to give up. And for you, you look back on the last 17 months, and you think, well, what difference has it made to my life? Maybe for some of you, it's caused you more to think about life. Has it? I know that my uncle, he died in Birmingham as a result of COVID. And whether people believe COVID or not, well, I know he had it, and you know, he wasn't around for much longer. And it was real. And the awful thing was, I was watching the funeral service on Zoom. Well, crazy. Anyway, I won't go into that. But you know, that was a reality. It was hard, it was tough. It really was. And many churches, as we know, struggled. Not being able to meet, and the danger is now people will get used to the fact that they've been nice, be able to watch services, and perhaps it's easier just in our armchair and we stay at home. Don't get into that mode. Whatever you do is dangerous. It really is. Unless you're, if you're able to come out, and some folk are struggling with various illness, and we're not talking about that. If you're able to come out to worship God, please do it. The devil is really trying to stop you. It's good corporately to come out. And it blesses my heart to see so many of you here today. And the boys and girls. Great. Keep coming. And now you may think, well, I've got to come because one more coming or down. No, good. This is the best place to be. Back row, middle row. Tremendous. We'll do a high five later. Great. Great. Sunday, it's a good way to learn. But the psalmist here, he was ready to give up. But then, verse 17. And verse 17 is the key. It really is. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. What's the sanctuary of God? What's he mean there? Until he went on his knees. Until he cried, laid hold of God and prayed and realized that all those people he was envying, they are to be pitied. Because if they die without God, the Bible talks of hell, and it's real. I have these young people last Wednesday. I could have cried. There they were, all these lads and girls. They're asking real question. Where is God, Dalton? I can't see him. How do you know he's real? And for one lad, I said, all I can tell you, look, I know what Dalton King used to be like. The headmaster, to describe me, we couldn't use the words from the pulpit, what the headmaster thought of me. But I tell you what, Jesus came in and changed my life. And I know because of what Christ has done, I'm a different person. And do you know what the Bible says? If you're in Christ, who's going to finish it off for you? You are a new one. New creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Praise God. I'm not trying to insult all your intelligence, but I like when the people are with me. Amen. It's great here, Nathan. You've got a good lot here. Praise God. But you know, it's important. And that's what happened to me. What a God. So the psalmist here, he cried out to God. And when you're feeling low, and I think we said that a bit this morning, and when we feel like giving up, often there's a time when we need to lay hold of God And you all know the story when I was made redundant. I didn't even know what the word meant. I've been working at this place for 15 years. British Shoe Corporation. I worked in their office there. And they were laying people off because of all the cheap imports that was coming in at the time. 15 years. Suddenly, no work. What do I do? Redundancy doesn't last forever, does it? If anybody said last forever, they lied. They don't believe them. So we got to a point, got no money. I'd always been used to, you know what? End of the month, you see, bank credit. Yes, bank credit. Suddenly, gone. No bank credit. And we got to a point, I know I've shared this here before, but I think it's still relevant, where we've got no money. And I thought, I'm not going to go to my wife's parents. I'm not going to go to the Outlaws. I could have done, but I thought, no, I'm not going to go to the Outlaws. I'm not going to go to my parents. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray on my knees, my wife and I. And I remember banging the wall at this house, Highway Road, where we live. Bang the wall. God, are you there? Are you real? I did. I've been a Christian over 25 years, and I'm banging on the wall. Are you real? Are you there, God? Why did I pray like that? I prayed like that because I was desperate. I needed him. And the psalmist here, he laid hold of God. And do you know there are times when we need to be desperate? Yeah. Perhaps we've got it too cushy at times. And you know, I'm not saying we're going to all ask for trouble now and think, oh, I'm all right now, the Lord's delivered. But you know, sometimes it can become too easy and cushy. And when it does, we'll forget about God. But amazingly that night, I was locking up. There's a brown envelope. It's always brown, isn't it? Never white. Brown envelope. Picked it up and I thought it was a lot more rubbish, ready to bin it. But it was different. I opened it. Sums of money in this envelope. Hundreds of pounds. Do you know what? We can pay the mortgage. We can do the shopping. For a few weeks shopping, all the money we needed was there. Amazing. And to this day, I've got no idea who it's from. Of course I've got idea who it's from. God, the Lord, helped. What a God. And what we did, we kept that brown envelope to this day, no money in it, but we kept the brown envelope as a way to thank God for his goodness to us as a family. And since then, well, the Lord's been good. So, God, but God, when we don't understand, he's there. And then the psalmist not only cried out to God, but look, we haven't got time. But look, he then goes on to say, you'd think, is this the same person? Look at verse 25. Verse 25, he says, whom have I in heaven? Is this the same person? He's now saying, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. Well, he wasn't desiring God earlier, was he? He was far from the Lord. And then, verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. See, we have the word but it is good for me to draw near. Are you drawing near tonight? Are you doing? Please keep near to God. Don't let the glory, don't let the devil try to rob you from the blessings that God's got for you. Give your life to him. Don't mess about. Mean business with God. He's real. He really is. So, but God, when we don't understand. But then, secondly, I want you to notice, but God in life's battles. We have battles, don't we, in life? Please turn with me, if you're able to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Because there was a real battle here. And I want you, this is so lovely, these words. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I just want to read some of these lovely, lovely words. Because here was God's servant in the middle of a tremendous battle, really. Because in the opening of chapter 20, it talks about all these armies coming up against Jehoshaphat. And look at verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat, a great army. And it goes on and on and on. Verse 3. Because of the army, Jehoshaphat feared. Is that what we do with fear? He feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I love that. He feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord. And you know what? This is what we need to do in life's battle. There's something you're facing this week, these coming few weeks. How are we going to navigate through the next few weeks, even as a church? What will our worship look like? How will we integrate? How will we get it back? How will it, in the sense of, I nearly said full normality. Yes, well, I'm not saying this is not normal, but you know what I mean. There's still things we've got to work out and work on and get people in and so on. That's why we need to pray for our leaders, that the Lord will give them tremendous wisdom. Because we can be funny people, can't we, as a congregation, even at our church. We can be funny people. Some people like it this way, some people that. Some people, oh dear me, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, praise God, we'll have a new body. There'll be none of that. Eh? Forget the mask in heaven, people. We won't need that. You know, fine, praise God, those who wear it now. We're not having a go at that. Fine, good, that's how you feel. Great. But, you know, we'll have a new body. Incorruptible. Who's going to finish it? Incorruptible. Undefiled. What else? Fadeth not away. Right. What a day. What a body, people. But Jehoshaphat, he feared. But then as we read on, so we read he had all the armies coming up against him. And look at this. I love this in verse 15. And he said, listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. That was his battle. Why? And I love this with all my heart. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You know, sometimes we fret, we worry. What happens when we fret? We get tummy ache. Who's never had that? You know, I have feet up, everything up. We fret, we get tummy ache, we feel sick. And then do you know what? We look back in a few weeks, Tom, why did I get so worked up? Why? Sometimes we get worked up over nothing, don't we? And sometimes we worry because we haven't got anything to worry about. Amazing, all of us, myself included. But the battle is the Lord's. Now, I know it's easy for me to speak like that, but the battle is the Lord's, but please believe it, it is the Lord's, and we've got to trust him in it. So this man, he set himself to fast and to seek the Lord. And verse 18, it goes on, I love it. So not only is the battle is the Lord, it's not yours but God's. And I love verse 16, tomorrow, go down against them. And we want to go down, in a sense, to keep on in this battle for God. And then just one other scripture, Genesis 8. We're still saying, but God in life's battle. Don't you love this? Genesis 8. Oh, man. Genesis 8. Noah, we know the story of Noah. All the warnings he gave to people. Eventually build the ark. There was the ark. And you could say, you know, where is God? Well, God is here. And I love, actually, I think it was the ESV that it says, or the Authorized, I can't remember. It says here, then God remembered. Well, I'm not quite sure, I can't remember. Maybe one of you will remind me. But I think it was the ESV where it said, but God. Well, that's fine, it said, then God. Remember Noah. You see, in life's battle, God will not give us up. You know, here was Noah. He was on the ark all that time. The water with his family, the animals. We can't imagine what that must have been like. You know, the food, all the things. And you think, well, the Lord, you know, he'll leave them alone. But he didn't. But God remembered Noah and every living thing. And all the animals. And I love that because God, he will remember us even in life's battle. Please, please, I say again, don't give up. Sometimes it's tough, it's hard, And sometimes you think the easiest thing to do is just, you know, let's go home and do our own thing. Keep on keeping on. The answer that I had this morning from this young guy, boy, he taught well at camp, hey, praise God, as well as being here. Great answer. So, what have we said? But God, when we don't understand, but God in life's battle. And then finally, oh well, we've got to have this, but God in our salvation. Now, I want someone to tell me, where do we find that then? But God in our salvation. Where's that found? Which book in the Bible? Anyone? Now, you don't need to Google it. Ephesians. I'm sure you all know, you're just being shy, aren't you?
Romans chapter 4.
Sorry?
Romans chapter
4. It's there as well. Yeah, I've got that down. Yeah. All right, let's look at Ephesians. We'll look at Ephesians 2 first, just for a moment. So in Ephesians 2, we've got it. It talks here, our state before we're Christian, verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And then it talks, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. But verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. What mercy, what love. That's why I always think of that Boys Brigade camp. It was rich in mercy to save Dalton King in that tent all those years ago because I cried out to him. But God in our salvation, what did he do? But God with his great love. And you know, if you've not noticed that before, take note. But God was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. What a God. And again, Romans chapter 4, we heard. Do you want to read that for me? I'll read Romans 5, 8, and then you could read Romans 4 for me that you mentioned. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we've got these lovely words. Again, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, we need to take note all about God. And what was the other one? Romans 4, down there, go for it. Right, probably. Okay, right, okay. Maybe it will come in a little while. But it's lovely. But God. Is it there? No? Right, okay, that's fine. But God demonstrated his love for us. And again, we've got one in Romans chapter 6. And we all know this one, don't we? Romans 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Oh, what wages that is. That's not the wage we want tonight, is it? We don't want that as our wage. But look. But, praise God, people, come on. Praise God. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. What a note to finish on there. We don't want that wages that's death. We want but the gift. This gift we can know is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Such love. And then John 15 verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Do take notes. There's so many but God that we could have gone into, but there we are. But God, what was the first point? Who's going to help me? I want to make sure we all remember. Point number one, but God when we... Sorry? When we don't understand, well done. I like it. Well done. Secondly, but God in life's battles. Great. That's lovely. And then thirdly, but God in our What? In our salvation.
Right.
Well, may the Lord stir us up. And when we see the God, we take note and we rejoice in it. Well, let's sing our final hymn.
And one that reminds us who's in control. And we need that reminding every day, don't we?
791. God holds the key of all unknown, and I am glad.